Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. We're jumping right into it today with a deep dive into some really interesting cybercrime stories. You could even say it's kind of like a true fraud podcast.
Yeah.
But for the digital world.
Yeah, it really does feel like a digital whodunit sometimes.
It really does. So we've got three big stories to unpack today. First, we've got a major phishing operation that just got busted. Then we're going to look at how some state-sponsored hackers are using AI. And lastly, we'll cover a data breach at a company that I'm pretty sure almost everyone listening has used. All right, so let's get started with that phishing takedown. This was a big one. It even involved authorities from two different countries. Law enforcement actually managed to seize 39 domains in this operation, taking down a network that's been active for years. And we're talking millions of dollars in illicit profits.
And what's crazy is that this wasn't just your typical group of hackers, you know. These guys were selling phishing kits. So literally anyone, even with very basic technical skills, could launch pretty sophisticated attacks. It's essentially phishing as a service, which is a really concerning trend because it just makes it so much easier for anyone to get into cybercrime.
Wow, that's wild. So they were basically running an online store where you could buy everything you needed to trick people into giving up their personal info, like passwords, credit card numbers, all that.
Exactly.
And they were making a killing. Over $3 million in documented losses. That's probably just the tip of the iceberg. And their main focus was on something called BEC scams, or business email compromise scams, which are often much harder to detect and can be way more damaging to companies.
Yeah, BEC scams are different from something like ransomware.
Right. With ransomware, at least you know you've been hit immediately. Systems are locked up. Nothing works.
Right. But BEC scams are all about deception, you see. They exploit trust and that sense of urgency to manipulate employees into sending money or sharing sensitive information. It's almost like a silent heist disguised as a normal business transaction.
I actually came across a quote the other day where a security expert compared BEC scams to pickpockets. I thought that was a great analogy. You don't even realize you've been robbed until it's too late.
And to make matters worse, a lot of companies are hesitant to report BEC scams. You know, they're worried about the reputational damage.
So they lose money and then they're too embarrassed to even report it.
Exactly. It's a double whammy. And because they don't report it, we don't really know how big of a problem this actually is.
So it's a cybercrime iceberg. We only see what's above the surface.
Hmm.
So this takedown is a big win for sure. But is it really enough? I mean, it seems like for every group that gets taken down, another one just pops up in its place.
That's the big question, isn't it? I mean, these takedowns definitely disrupt things for a while, but the problem is much deeper than that. It's a constant cat and mouse game between law enforcement and these cybercriminals.
It's like playing whack-a-mole. You knock one down and two more pop up.
Exactly. And this actually brings up another interesting point. BEC scams often don't get as much attention as something like ransomware, even though they can be just as damaging, if not more so.
That's true. You hear about ransomware attacks all the time, but BEC scams are, I guess, less dramatic. I mean, there's no big system lockdown, no ransom notes. It's all very quiet.
Well, ransomware is kind of like the loud, disruptive intruder, while BEC scams are more like the silent thief.
That makes sense.
With ransomware, the damage is immediate and everyone sees it. But with BEC scams, it takes time for the damage to become clear. Sometimes companies don't even realize they've been hit until much later. And another difference is that ransomware often targets individuals. Well, BEC scams usually target businesses and organizations.
So maybe the impact doesn't feel as personal for most people.
Right. But for those businesses that are affected, the financial and reputational damage can be crippling.
Okay, so let's switch gears a bit now. We've talked about phishing as a service and how these kits are making it so easy for criminals to launch attacks. But now it seems like they're getting some help from an unexpected source. Artificial intelligence.
Yes, the AI-powered hacker.
Mm.
Now, this is where things get really interesting. Yeah, it seems like we're entering this whole new era where hackers are using AI to up their game. There have been reports that multiple state-sponsored hacking groups have been experimenting with using AI, specifically large language models, to, you know, improve their capabilities.
So we're not just talking about some random hackers anymore. We're talking about, like, sophisticated, well-funded groups.
Yeah.
Backed by governments.
Yeah.
We're now using AI as part of their toolkit. It's kind of like something straight out of a sci-fi movie.
It is. And what's really interesting is how they're using AI in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just one thing. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Different groups are using it to target specific vulnerabilities and achieve different goals.
Okay, so give us some examples. How are these AI-powered hackers actually using AI in their attacks?
Well, some groups are using it to generate incredibly convincing phishing content. Imagine phishing emails so well written and so personalized that they're almost impossible to distinguish from real messages.
So they're using AI to craft those emails that make you think twice, even if you're usually pretty good at spotting phishing attempts.
Exactly. They're using AI to analyze tons of data and mimic human language patterns to create these super targeted and persuasive phishing campaigns. And we're also seeing AI being used for reconnaissance. Hackers are using it to gather information about their targets, identify weaknesses in their systems, and even create fake social media profiles to infiltrate online communities.
That is creepy. It's like they're building these digital doppelgangers to spy on people and gather intel.
It's a new form of digital espionage enabled by AI. And here's another interesting one. Some groups are even using AI to help them write job applications and resumes.
Wait, what? Hackers are applying for jobs. Why would they do that?
It's all part of a strategy to get inside organizations. They apply for IT jobs, hoping to gain access to systems and networks once they're hired.
So it's like a long con cyber attack.
Yeah.
Where they slowly work their way into a company using AI to make themselves look like the perfect candidate. That's actually kind of brilliant and terrifying at the same time.
It shows you how resourceful and adaptable these hackers are. They're always looking for new ways to exploit technology to their advantage. And AI is a game changer in that sense.
Now, I was reading an article about this, and it mentioned that AI is also being used by some hacking groups to gather information about critical infrastructure.
Oh, absolutely. That's another major concern. We're talking about nation-state actors using AI to probe for weaknesses. In power grids, transportation systems, and other vital infrastructure components, they're using it to map out cyber vulnerabilities and identify potential targets for future attacks.
So it's not just about stealing data or money anymore. It's about potentially disrupting essential services and causing real-world chaos. This kind of raises the question, what can we actually do to defend against these AI-powered attacks? It feels like we're always playing catch-up, always one step behind.
It's a valid concern, but there's also a silver lining here. While AI is being used by malicious actors, it's also a powerful tool for defense. Security researchers are using AI to develop more sophisticated ways to detect and prevent attacks.
So it's like a cyber arms race with both sides using AI to sharpen their tools.
Exactly. And thankfully, AI safeguards are also being implemented to prevent it from being misused. There have been cases where hackers tried to use AI to create malicious code, but their attempts were stopped by built-in safety protocols.
Okay, that's reassuring, at least for now. It shows that there are limits to what AI can do, and that ethical considerations are being taken into account. But I can't help but wonder, how long will these safeguards actually hold up?
That's a great question. As AI technology continues to evolve, so will the methods used by both attackers and defenders. It's a constant game of cat and mouse with both sides pushing the limits.
Well, that's enough about AI-powered hacking for today. Let's move on to a story that hits a little closer to home. Let's talk about the recent data breach at Grubhub. This one is a classic example of third-party risk. A reminder that your data is only as secure as the weakest link in the chain.
Yes, the Grubhub incident. It definitely highlights how even companies with strong security measures can be vulnerable when third-party vendors are involved. But the good news is it doesn't seem like the hackers got access to the really sensitive stuff. No social security numbers or full payment card details were compromised.
Okay, well, that's good to hear at least. But how did this breach even happen? Was it some kind of sophisticated targeted attack or something more avoidable?
It was actually a pretty classic scenario, unfortunately. A compromised account belonging to one of Grubhub's third-party service providers gave the hackers a way into their systems.
So it all comes down to that one weak link. A single compromised account can put a company's entire data security at risk. It really shows that companies need to be super careful about who they work with and making sure their partners have strong security practices in place. So what about the data that was exposed? What kind of information did the hackers actually get access to?
Well, they did get their hands on some personal information. Names, email addresses, phone numbers, and partial payment card data for some users.
Okay, so maybe not the most critical data, but still enough to cause some serious damage. That kind of information can be used for phishing attacks, identity theft, all sorts of nasty things.
Absolutely. And let's not forget, this isn't Grubhub's first run-in with trouble. They had that FTC settlement back in December, which involved a pretty hefty fine for some questionable business practices.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Didn't they have to pay a lot of money to settle those charges?
They did. And this latest breach just adds another layer of concern. It raises questions about their overall security posture and their ability to protect user data.
Yeah, it definitely makes you wonder if they've learned from their past mistakes. and if they've taken the necessary steps to improve their security practices.
It definitely highlights the importance of continuous improvement and vigilance when it comes to cybersecurity.
Well, this deep dive into the world of cybercrime has been quite a journey. We've gone from these sophisticated phishing operations to AI-powered hackers and the ever-present threat of third-party breaches. It seems like the bad guys are always finding new ways to exploit technology and stay ahead of the game.
It's a constant battle, that's for sure. And a reminder that cybersecurity is everyone's responsibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We all need to be aware of the threats out there, stay informed, and take the necessary precautions to protect ourselves and our data.
And it's a team effort for sure. You know, thinking back to that Grubhub breach, it really highlights how even simple things can make a big difference.
So what can our listeners do to, you know, boost their own cybersecurity? What are some easy steps they can take?
Well, first and foremost, use strong, unique passwords for every online account. I know it sounds like a broken record, but it really is your first line of defense.
Okay. Strong passwords. Got it.
What else? Enable two-factor authentication whenever you can. That extra layer of security makes it so much harder for hackers to get into your accounts, even if they somehow manage to get your password.
Yeah, true. A little bit of inconvenience up front can save a lot of trouble later on. Any other tips?
Be mindful of the information you share online. The less you put out there, the less hackers have to work with.
So be careful about that digital footprint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And always think twice before you click on links. Be wary of emails that seem even a little bit off. And keep your software updated. All of these are simple things, but they can really improve your overall security.
It's all about being proactive, right?
Yeah.
Don't wait until something bad happens to start taking cybersecurity seriously.
Exactly. Now, before we wrap up, I want to circle back to that AI story one more time. It really got me thinking.
Yeah. Those AI-powered hackers. It does feel like something out of a sci-fi movie.
It really does. And it makes you wonder how AI will change cybercrime in the future. I mean, we've already seen how it can be used to create these incredibly convincing phishing attacks. But what else is coming down the pipeline?
That's the big question, isn't it? It's hard to even imagine what AI-powered attacks might look like in 5 or 10 years.
I know. It really is. But let's speculate a little bit, shall we? Imagine AI that can analyze huge amounts of data to create these hyper-targeted phishing campaigns that are almost impossible to resist.
Or AI that learns your online behavior patterns and crafts these spear phishing emails that are so personalized,
yeah,
they seem completely legitimate.
Exactly. Or AI that can create deep fakes. You know those video or audio recordings that are so realistic they can fool anyone?
Now you're just trying to scare me. Mm-hmm. It sounds like we're entering a whole new era of cybercrime, one where the lines between reality and fiction become even more blurred.
It's a brave new world, for sure. But it's not all doom and gloom. Remember, AI can also be a powerful force for good. Security researchers are already using it to develop new ways to detect and prevent cyber attacks.
So AI isn't necessarily the bad guy in this story.
Not at all. The future of cybersecurity is still being written. And we all have a role to play in making sure that AI is used for good and not for evil. We need to stay informed, remain vigilant, and keep pushing the boundaries of innovation to stay ahead of the bad guys.
Well said. It's a call to action for all of us. And on that note, it's time to wrap up this episode of Cyber Mornings Daily. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of cybercrime.
It's always a pleasure to explore the digital underworld with you. Until next time, everyone, stay safe out there.